doing my best to waste another day. Sit right here and have another beer in Mexico. Let the warm air melt these blues away. Down in Mexico.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in New York City updating the public on this week's Columbia University operations to clear anti-war protesters and the discharged gun by an NYPD officer. Assistant Chief Carlos Valdez, the commanding officer of the NYPD Emergency Service Unit, says emergency officers were moving into Hamilton Hall to remove barricades and clear protesters when the officer's firearm discharged accidentally and no one was injured.
At no time were any police officers, members of the public, or any protesters in danger. This was purely unintentional.
Former Trump White House aide Hope Hicks testifying today in the hush money trial. Hicks also served as campaign press secretary to Trump when Trump's alleged affairs were surfacing and efforts by Trump's former attorney to keep negative stories from being published. Employers added 175,000 jobs in April, fewer than analysts projected, but still showing a robust labor market in the face of inflation. This is ABC News. Another round of encampment clearings for the NYPD as they arrest demonstrators at NYU and the city's new school.
New York University said the decision to have the NYPD clear a protest encampment was about the nature of the protest and how it posed a threat to the community. This man saw the encampment cleared and said the response was too strong.
We're loud, but it doesn't warrant, like, a warfare type response.
The new school said they requested police after multiple rounds of negotiations failed.
ABC's Brian Clark. A memorial service underway in Charlotte, North Carolina for fallen law enforcement officer Joshua Iyer, who was one of the four officers killed while trying to serve a warrant Monday. President Biden met with the families of these fallen officers while in Wilmington yesterday. Hawaii Governor Josh Green signing a new bill that gives counties more authority to regulate the number of short-term rentals. That is Maui residents continue to struggle to secure housing following last year's devastating wildfires. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise in the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ayling. There'll be no jail time for a fired Milwaukee elections official convicted of fraudulently requesting military ballots in 2022 and sending them to the home of a state lawmaker. In court on Thursday, Judge Corey Ashley told 47-year-old Kimberly Zapata that she'd made a terrible decision.
Certainly, the public needs to understand that our election process is secure, that we have individuals working in those agencies who are committed to protecting the integrity of those systems. And you did violate that trust.
Zapata, the former deputy director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission, was sentenced to a year's probation and 120 hours of community service along with a $3,000 fine. An advocacy group says there's too much money spent on Wisconsin's Supreme Court elections. Jay Heck with Common Cause in Wisconsin says the amount spent by outside groups continues to spiral upwards.
This was $57 million, by far the most expensive Supreme Court election in the history of the United States. And the next one is expected to be even more expensive than that.
Heck wants to see campaign finance reforms put back in place at the state and federal level. That includes the repeal of a 2010 U.S. Supreme Court decision that allows for unlimited election spending by third parties. The death of a Milwaukee 4-year-old in a hit-and-run leads to a call for a special legislative session. Milwaukee State Representative Lakeisha Myers is asking Governor Tony Evers to convene the session on reckless driving following the Tuesday crash that killed Zakani Himes Wilson and seriously injured her mother. Myers is calling for legislation for red light cameras to curb dangerous driving in Milwaukee. Her previous proposals for those have failed. Meanwhile, media reports say the suspect that ran into the girl and her mother was previously convicted of killing a 36-year-old Milwaukee man with his car in 2018 while driving with a suspended license.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 47. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Some scattered rain with a high of 61. Sunday, sunny, warmer, high of 68. If you need help with back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. They can help with your IRS problems. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Directly following the news, Jennifer Scheck from Farm Journal's Pork. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. We had the jobs report out this morning. The equities are trading sharply higher. You got the Dow up more than 325 points right now.
Woohoo!
We're starting to end the week with a bang. The rally continues in the grain markets.
Mm-hmm.
Am I really seeing 20%+ gains in wheat again?
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy town happening out there right now. Here's another news item that I didn't include in the open. No H5N1 in the beef supply. That's huge, dude.
Massive.
Huge.
Massive.
Yep. Welcome to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. Hey, what do you got?
Everybody's happy except the people who have read the different farm bill write-ups.
Exactly.
And nobody's happy there.
There are some major differences. We talked about it yesterday with Colin Peterson and with Jim Wiesmeyer. We've got some additional perspective that we are going to bring to the conversation this morning. May the 4th be with you, Eve.
Huh? That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, now that's important to a lot of people, including my wife. She is a big Star Wars fan.
Okay.
Period. Ezra. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you also appreciate the storylines.
I sample the storylines frequently.
Yes. Yes. But, you know, for the most part, I just think of Eric Foreman from the 70s show.
Oh, okay.
That really geeking out on Star Wars is what I really imagine.
I mean,
when I think about this.
It's a little more lowbrow than what we Star Wars people usually kind of like to associate with, but okay.
I know.
You know, you're trying, and we appreciate
Believe me, my wife has informed me well of that. All right, we might have to mention that a couple of more times. We got Cinco de Mayo coming up this weekend, too.
We do.
Yes.
Big weekend.
It's a big weekend.
Uh-huh.
Big
uh-huh.
weekend. All right, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Well, the National Weather Service weather outlook calls for a slight risk of excessive rainfall over parts of the western central Gulf Coast today and the southern plains tomorrow. Heavy snow over the Sierra Nevada mountains on Saturday, and there is a slight risk of severe thunderstorms over parts of the central southern plains. I'm hoping for good weather here in Kansas City this weekend. We're going to the art fair
tomorrow.
The art
good.
Fair.
Absolutely. There are a lot of producers up in northern Iowa that are hoping for some clear weather, too. Unfortunately, I don't know exactly even how to say it anymore. Yeah. There's more rain in the forecast for Saturday evening and into Sunday morning.
Fair enough. Well, here's something fortunate. A USDA daily export sale. Yeah. 122,000 metric tons of soybeans to unknown destinations during the 23-24 marketing year. Been a while, seems like, since we had a daily sale, Chip.
It is. It has been a while. So it's nice to see that demand comes back in just ahead of a big rally in soybeans yesterday. Could this be the first of a string of sales? Yesterday's price action might suggest that's going to happen.
Well, non-farm payrolls in the United States increased by 175,000 in April of 2024, lower than the expected increase of 240,000. The unemployment rate rose slightly to 3.9% from 3.8%. The March jobs number was, of course, revised up to 315,000 from originally 303,000.
Yeah.
This according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The leisure and hospitality sector, which has helped lead the way on job growth in recent months, added only 5,000 jobs in April. Meanwhile, all three major stock indices registered gains yesterday ahead of this key update.
And they're higher in response to it today because they believe, or the belief is that it ups the odds that the economy is slowing down enough that the Fed is going to have to lower interest rates at some point this year. I don't know if that's right or not.
I'm just going to throw a farm bill grenade here to start the conversation this morning. On that farm bill, I have a quote here. There's no shortage of Senate money for climate and nutrition, but the cupboard's bare for farmers. Underserved farmers get an extra share of the crumbs in the bill for farmers. An extension is better than this. That's the word from an unnamed farm bill veteran.
Well, we will use that for some fodder as we get started in the conversation with Wiesmeyer coming up in just a bit.
Excellent. USDA projects that by the end of fiscal year 2024, ag exports will total $170.5 billion against imports of $201 billion, potentially leading to a record annual deficit of $30.5 billion. The forecast deficit is part of a continuing pattern observed over recent fiscal years where the United States ag sector frequently posts trade deficits, particularly in the latter months of the year. In the first quarter of 2024, Mexico maintained its position as the top exporter to the United States, with nearly $120 billion in goods sent northward, marking a record high for this period with a 3.8% increase from the previous year. And finally, Chip, Turkey stopped all trade with Israel because of the, quote, worsening humanitarian tragedy in the Gaza Strip. Turkish Trade Ministry said the ban would be lifted if Israel allowed sufficient flow of aid. Israel's foreign minister called Erdogan, Turkey's president, a dictator. Over to you.
All right. Yeah, it's making it, the conflict there is making its way into the ag business. There's no question. All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
All right. Some tough situation with all the storms down in the southwest and in the west and western, all the way up to western Iowa. But it's an opportunity to bring the community together, isn't it?
Yeah, we definitely saw the pork industry step up in Oklahoma to provide support, particularly in the Sulphur and Holdenville, Oklahoma communities, where tornadoes resulted in some deaths, unfortunately, and widespread devastation to the town. But, you know, they stepped up and did what they could by providing some pulled pork sandwiches and taking food and water out in the communities. On Sunday, the morning after, the president-elect, Joe Locke, was already out there, fired up his smoker and was cooking for people and continued to do that for, I think, about 36 hours straight. So it's incredible to see kind of how they stepped up in an area that really is very hog dense in that part of Oklahoma. So,
yeah, not a lot of people think of Oklahoma as a major pork producer, but there are areas of Oklahoma, as you just said, that there's intensive production happening down there, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think within 50 miles of that Holdenville community, there are 80,000 sows within the Tyson food system.
Oh, wow.
And so, their executive director, Kylie Denise, was discussing how the majority of those sows are cared for by local farmers who contract with Tyson, and those farmers had some huge devastation to their operations. So definitely keep them in our thoughts.
Absolutely. All right. Good stuff, Jennifer. Thank you. Learn more about this and other pork business stories at www.porkbusiness.com. Jennifer Scheich, editor, Farm Journal's Pork. Okay, we got the free-for-all coming next. We got Michelson. We got Pro Farmers Jim Wiesmeyer. Real Agriculture Sean Haney. It's the varsity team up and rolling.
Level up your lineup with new Zalo herbicide. A convenient soluble premix formulated for glufosinate-tolerant soybean, cotton, and canola with better average weed control than Liberty herbicide. Get post-emergence broadleaf weed control, plus multiple modes of action for broad-spectrum contact and systemic grass control. Take control up a notch. Visit amvac.com/Zalo.
Ahead of planting season, the Be Sure campaign, organized by the Growing Matters Coalition, is back again to protect pollinator habitats and safeguard biodiversity across America's farmland. Since 2019, the Be Sure campaign has helped educate millions of growers and applicators on best management practices and responsible stewardship when applying neonicotinoid products. For guidance, tips, and resources, visit growingmatters.org/besure.
Agriculture drives this country.
Congress recently invested $20 billion in conservation practices.
These programs help small farmers better their practice at a cost that they can afford.
They've helped me to not only take care of my family, but to take care of the land.
Today, these funds are at risk. Congress, protect conservation funding in the Farm Bill and keep agriculture viable for future generations. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Max Armstrong here. The demand for nitrogen has never been higher. Fortunately, Pivot Bio has transformed the way fertilizer is produced and used by farmers. Unlike synthetic nitrogen fertilizers, the cost of Pivot Bio Proven 40 is every bit as consistent as its performance. And since it's applied in furrow at planting, it's weatherproof.
To learn more, contact Bauer Seeds in Service in Durand, Wisconsin. Call 715-577-8541.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
Okay, I can't wait any longer. We got to talk about this. We absolutely, positively have got to make people aware that this is happening. It's a busy week. It's a big week for you next week, isn't it, Davis?
It actually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
A super big week.
Absolutely, it's a super big week.
Actually, the last couple have been super big. And I've made mention of something that I couldn't really talk about.
Well, let's talk about it now.
Should we talk about it? It's the Grow Getters podcast. It's the Grow Getters podcast on YouTube and anywhere that you can get the audio, anywhere you get your favorite podcasts. But what I've done is gotten in touch with some folks who are on the farm, right? Mm-hmm. The idea is they got a side hustle going.
Yeah.
Maybe you're making whiskey there. Maybe you're making yogurt. I don't, you know, whatever it is. I want to get these people on. Let's talk about your farm for a second here, but let's talk about, you know, this other little side hustle that you've got going on. And it's an awful lot of fun. We've got a number of.
Did you do this just to get a free sample of whiskey?
You know what? I really can't confirm or deny that. Some would accuse me of doing it just to have an excuse to play stupid songs for people and record their reactions, but there's a little bit of that.
Well, that's all good, too.
It's a lot of fun. It really is. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm really
You've
excited about it. I think
stories.
It drops. I think
you're working
Tuesday.
On some great stories. That's the big deal here. You're
That's the bottom line there. Yeah,
exactly. You're doing it in a way that we all want to hear the stories told.
Yes,
it's from that consumer's point of view. It's from that side hustle point of view. It's it seems like everybody's got something extra happening mm-hmm. in your life, and yep. they're go-getters, except yep. in this case they're grow-getters, and
right
and
your growers are out there getting it
them.
Done I would just say just really quick one last thing. If you, dear farmer, would like to be a grow-getter yourself, you're thinking, man, there's got to be something more, I kind of had this idea, this is a great place to find out how these people went from just farming and doing the normal stuff to adding something to it.
Right.
And maybe some of the pitfalls that they found along the way. So it's terrific. It's good for a lot of reasons. I'm really excited about it. Drops Tuesday next week.
Tuesday of next week.
Yep.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right. Let's get the free for all started. We got Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. How you doing, Jim?
Pretty good. I can't believe I was in both Kansas City and San Antonio, Texas earlier this week.
What'd you learn?
Oh, crop insurance people are the best. The agents and RCIS people know how to put on a meeting, and got a lot of good feedback from all the sectors there.
Good.
Jim, did you feel the Royals fervor while you were in Kansas City? 17 wins in April, huh?
Yes, they were all surprised and very upbeat.
Well, that tends to happen after you play the series against the Blue Jays. It does tend to boost your confidence.
Wait a second. How many wins did you say?
17 wins in April, a club record.
Holy smokes. Yeah. That's huge. That's a whole lot better than what I thought was going to happen. I think the Cubs had 18.
Would think that. I think it was 16. That's what I think.
No, I think it was 18.
You won upper.
Yeah.
Well, and then they had that rookie, five home
not
runs,
like,
five consecutive games.
Yeah, Bush.
Yeah.
Bush, yeah, playing down there at first base. He was the number one prospect out of the Dodgers, but the Dodgers went and spent a whole bunch of money on, what's his name? Ohtani. And they had to start to lighten the load out there, and the Cubs ended up with this guy that's he's got to be the favorite after April for the Rookie of the Year in the National League. He's got to be. So, all right, and yes, it's sports. Of course, there's one-upsmanship. That's what sports is.
That's what it is. That's the point.
That's the point of it all. All right, that other voice, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Chip, I'm doing good. Jim mentioned Kansas City. This is the second time this year so far, and we're only 4 months in, that mm-hmm. I have been in a city and Jim gets there right after I leave. I think he's doing it intentionally. Because I was in Kansas City for NAMA. He's like, oh, I'm going to be in Kansas City. Well, I'm leaving Friday. He's like, oh, I get there Saturday. Sorry. Like, there's something going on here.
he's been known to be a sneaky one, that Wiesmeyer. So, Jim Wiesmeyer, we had a fantastic conversation yesterday morning on the show with Colin Peterson, and then the conversation between you and I got some feedback on that. People really appreciated the perspective, the analysis that you are doing on the Senate framework, on the House framework, and they really are two the bills are really generating different reactions from the stakeholders in the industry, aren't they?
Definitely. I've never seen as great a difference between a House and Senate farm bill as this one, Chip, where one is more farmer friendly and the other one puts a lot of more funding, probably again, in food and nutrition and conservation. And so I think we're moving apart rather than toward a bipartisan bill.
But here's the deal. The House bill is considered much more farmer friendly because of its attention to the Title I issues, the safety net, the ARC, the PLC, the crop insurance issues that are addressed in that bill. But at the same time, the House bill does not ignore the nutrition efforts, does not ignore conservation. There's something in the bill for everyone when you get right down to it, isn't there?
Yes. And the House bill just isn't as lucrative in the flexibility that we saw Vilsack as USDA secretary use on the Thrifty Food Plan to have a 25% increase 1 year. They would not allow that in the House bill anymore. That doesn't mean they're going to cut the food and nutrition program. They just won't see the increases they were used to. So it's words there, Chip. But I'll tell you, the Senate bill, to me, the House bill was more farmer friendly than I thought it was going to be. The Senate bill is just taken an axe, I think, to the Title I programs because of what we discussed earlier. They limit the PLC to 20% of the effective reference price. And bottom line, I don't want to get too wonky on you. If we do go down a lot further in prices over the next few years, that'll hurt all program crops, not just rice and peanuts, but wheat. And we're starting to give examples, Chip. But here's the secret that I want to know. I want to see budget scores of both of these bills because I think that will be very revealing on the Senate bill of how much funding is going in for nutrition versus the other other titles, Chip.
He did really a great sort of, he sort of buried the lead a little bit in terms of, like, you know, the bottom line, I think how he referenced it, no Democrats in farm districts. And so it's sort of, it makes you sort of, you know, this, the farm bill is typically known as this bipartisan, you know, like this is where Congress can actually find common ground and blah, 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 blah. The traditional bipartisanship of the farm bill has definitely changed And the other thing that he said, you know, show me the money, like where is the money going to come from? Were the two things that I took out of what
Chairman Kennedy said.
Yeah.
Colin Peterson is who Haney is talking about, making that point about the lack of Democrat members from farm districts out there. And I started looking at the members of the House Ag Committee, and there's a few, but it's very few. He makes an important point, doesn't he, Jim?
Yeah, I huddled with him when I was in Kansas City at the SEPA meeting. And in fact, he put numbers on it. He said 92% of all the districts in the U.S. are Republican in the House district. But that 8%, Chip, is very important on the Democratic side. And plus, it will be interesting to see which Democrats and the number, because as Colin said, 15 to 20 GOP Freedom Caucus members probably won't vote for the farm bill. So they're going to need a number of Democrats, and that is a dilemma.
Well, and the more substance you have on either side of the aisle that is directly connected to an issue, like, say, you know, having agricultural congressional members, you want, they're working for you, they're the other, the non-ag people are leaning on them for what do we do here, what should happen. And if you don't have that resource, you're really up against it if you're on the other side.
Well, here's my line on the two bills. If you compare the two proposals to 2018 farm bill, you want the House bill, but you don't want the Senate. You want an extension.
You want an extension on that. All right, we're going to keep the conversation going.
At FBN Finance, we know there's one thing that unites all farmers: progress. It drives them to wake up early and be better than the day before. And whether it's a new land purchase or refinancing your ranch, FBN Finance has the agricultural expertise to help you reach your goals. Simply put, FBN Finance puts farmers first. With great rates, instant approvals, and pre-qualifications on farmland loans, FBN Finance has everything you need to be your partner in the fields and with your finances. And now, you can get $500 off closing costs for loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance, LLC, and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance, LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from Pro Farmer.
Joining us now, Pro Farmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, boy, the wheat market is grabbing the spotlight again today. Some big gains in the wheat complex. What's happening?
Yeah, 20 plus cents higher. So, you know, there's some concerns with the Russian crop. We've seen some of the crop estimates from Russia come down a little bit because of dryness in the southern region there. So that's helping to fuel things here. And we have some weather concerns for corn and soybeans as well, primarily in southern Brazil with the flooding there in Rio Grande do Sul and then south central Safrinha corn.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekens. At the Mercantile Exchange, June milk up 21 to 1911, July up 18 to 1923, August up 5 to 1924, September milk up 10 at 1934. Live cattle markets are mostly higher. Feeder cattle are a little bit mixed. We have a profit-taking setback in some of the nearby contracts, but otherwise, live cattle markets and feeder cattle really moving mostly higher due to some of that strength in the cash markets. June live cattle up 10 cents to 176.90. May feeder cattle, though, down 7 cents now to 243.52. Hog markets, they continue to move mostly lower. Even though the midday pork cutout values were higher, traders concerned about summer demand, they also might already be starting to position ahead of next week's WASDE report. May hogs down 30 cents to 92.77. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets are mostly mixed. Resistance levels happening in the nearby contracts, but deferreds higher due to wet weather that's causing disease issues in parts of South America. Soybeans mostly higher. Some of the planting progress could be delayed due to wet weather here in the U.S., while wheat markets higher as European wheat prices are higher along with weakness in the dollar. New crop corn up 2 1/4 to 481 3/4. New crop beans up 8 3/4 to 1196 1/2. July wheat up 18 1/2 now to 622 3/4.
There are many reasons growers trust Stein on their operations. For starters, we're home to the industry's highest yielding genetics. But we have something else just as powerful and reliable as our products: service. With Stein, growers have the benefit of leveraging decades of knowledge from our talented agronomy and sales teams. We're ready to walk the fields with you to ensure you get the yield benefits Stein Genetics can bring to your farm. Stein Seed. Dedicated to yield. Committed to you.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
House Ag Chairman is going to meet separately with Stabenow and John Bozeman next week. And I heard about midweek something could break, and I was not told, but so I think we'll get some more news next week.
Okay, does this bring us back into the potential for a 2024 farm bill, or is this something that we're still going to have to wait until after the election?
Well, we have to see the actual text and the budget scores, and to see the markup on the House Ag Committee by the end of May, Chip. I think that'll tell us whatever we need to, whether or not it's going to be this year or punted. But as I keep on saying, does the ag sector really want to wait until another year? Because next year is going to be debt limit time. Get it done. Get it done. Tell you a little a secret here. The text has been over at USDA. They always send it over to USDA for any technical changes, but it's been sitting at leadership positions at USDA for at least a month, if not longer. Yeah, so I don't know. Are they slow walking it?
So the House bill?
The House bill text has been over at USDA for at least a month, I was told. So I know it takes a while to go through all the language. Understand that. But come on, who do they think they are? Congressional Budget Office and delay? You know? Let's get the text out.
Take the over. The over.
Yeah, I know.
Nuts.
All of this continues to just lead to, it doesn't feel like a 24. We're talking 25.
Yeah.
Sadly, I'm not saying I'm cheering for that. It just feels like that's the reality.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you, Sean. I agree with you 100% on that. The only place that I'm a little hesitant to jump on board completely is because it's GT. The guy is so optimistic about getting this bill done. His optimism can become contagious.
Yeah. And Colin Peterson mentioned that, Chip, interview.
He can force the issue. I mean, GT, put the text out. Let's go. If that happens, that's going to force this issue even more. And he can make that happen. He can make things happen going forward. So,
and I was also alerted to, where's that $5 billion extra dollars in the Senate Farm Bill coming from? Because the ranking member on the Senate Finance Committee, Crapo, hasn't heard of it. So that's another sideline story, Chip. Let's get some transparency on this extra $5 billion.
Man, there's all kinds of tentacles to this story, Jim, that we need to try to corral and get control of. Couple other stories that hit this week that we need to get to. I want to go to beef first. No H5N1 in the ground beef supplies. I'll admit, I'm very surprised that they didn't find any, because they were searching in the states in the beef from dairy that has been confirmed as having H5N1. I'm really surprised they didn't find something. I'm overjoyed that they didn't find any issues, but they're going to keep looking, aren't they?
Yeah, and it is a relief. No different than some of the results they found on finding the live virus in pasteurized milk. It's this very much provides quantitative data that meets the messaging of the industry that there is not a threat to the food supply chain from a human health perspective. So this is a critical apex point. it is a massive relief. Obviously, as we found out, during the pandemic, unfortunately, that, the more you test, the more you increase the probability and the odds that you find stuff. But up until now, I wish what they would have done is, hey, we tested, didn't find anything. What some of the news came out was, hey, we're testing. And that without the result part of it at first, which I think leads to a lot of throwing the markets and the futures all over the place, because buy the rumor, sell the fact, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the ways that, you know, some in the industry would like to see us get away from these animal diseases is just grow our protein in a lab. Florida has decided that they aren't going to allow that. And they are citing economic reasons, not food safety issues, not animal welfare, none of that. They're just saying the cattle industry is too important to the state of Florida. We are going to ban lab-grown meat. What's your reaction, Haney?
It fits.
I love it.
Yeah, DeSantis, he's better as a governor than he is as a presidential candidate. We know that. That's been well documented. Listen, it is for these companies that are in the synthetic meat industry. This is not well timed.
Right.
You know, it is incredibly difficult to raise funding right now in the ag tech venture capital space. That's an understatement. I think we're going to see more of this.
You're seeing it in Alabama, Arizona, and Tennessee have all laws on the to be laws on the books soon.
Right, but at the same time, if you are a true let the market decide kind of person, this isn't exactly that, now is it?
No,
it's
right?
Not.
But I think the consumer is. I think the consumer is telling us one thing: they like real beef.
Yeah,
demand has been incredibly strong. I ultimately I don't think there's the hype that these companies got was not connected to reality.
Right. Yeah, this is the first time, and I think it's important. This is the first time that the economic impact of lab grown proteins has really been discussed. And it's bringing that issue to the forefront, and I think it's a very important issue that we need to talk about. And I'm sure that this will be a topic of discussion for us again going forward. Haney, tell me about the potential rail strikes up in Canada. What's going on there?
We do awesome things up here. So I think it's like 9,000 rail workers are potentially going to go on strike May 22nd. Now, this is both CPKC and CN Rail. This is both national railways. And so the big story here is, of course, they're fighting about wages and notice time and all the usual things. But the union has very much said, hey, if you feel that work action is warranted here, we very much do support it. And this should be a big concern to the U.S. farmer, okay? Because Canada exported $6 billion worth of fertilizer last year to the U.S. So where do you think a lot of the potash comes from that you're using in the Corn Belt? And how do you think that gets to the U.S.? It is rail. So this is a big time North American economic story. And I think it's very poorly. Some are saying, hey, it's the spring season. Not a lot of grain is shipped at this time. No big deal. From a grain perspective for exports out of Canada, I think it is a big deal because we have a lot of 23 crop that is still sitting on farm. And so the traditional shipping period is a little bit off kilter this year. So the more work action we have this spring, the bigger it backs up when we actually have to also ship the 24 crop. So hopefully this is something that doesn't come to fruition.
Well, what are the odds?
Just issue back to work legislation?
This is a government that would not necessarily particularly, you know, they're struggling in the polls. Going against a union is probably not their first choice. They tend to slow play these things. So they would, my guess is, based on past experience, they would let them go on strike, see if they can work it through. And then if it got to a point where after a couple of weeks they couldn't reconcile, then they'd take that move, but not as a preemptive thing.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Okay. Very good. What's the planting season look like so far? Has any rain made its way into the prairies?
Sort of. We've had some snow, and it's been pretty cool.
Snow?
To be honest,
it's May.
It's May. I know. It's weird. Last year at this time, we were bumping plus 90. And right. we are definitely not right now. It is still relatively dry, especially in that southern part of the prairies, northern Montana into western Canada. But we're better than we were, say, 2 months ago. But we're going to get this. We have enough moisture, I think, to get this crop out of the ground. But that moisture is going to need to definitely come fairly early in the growing season for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've gotten, the rains that have moved across some of the driest areas of the Corn Belt this week, over the last 7 days. I dumped another inch and three quarters out of my rain gauge off of the last rain. That gets my total over the last week up to 6 1/4 here in Northeast Iowa.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, the conditions have changed and changed dramatically. Of course, it wasn't very good for getting the crop planted, and I think that is having an impact on some of the markets. Gains in the corn market are backing off. So are gains in the soybean market backing off a bit from what we talked about with Brian at the bottom of the hour. Okay, SAF, sustainable aviation fuel, that's next on the agenda here on the Free For All on AgriTalk.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
You've paid top dollar for that new truck. Protect your investment with a new fabric sprayed-on bedliner from Osseo Plastics and Supply. A fabric bedliner protects your truck from rust and corrosion, and the permanent protective bond protects your truck from scratches. The anti-skid feature keeps your cargo from sliding around. The eye-catching bedliner looks factory installed, conforms to your accessories, and will increase your resale value of your truck. Find out how a fabric sprayed-on bedliner can work for you. Visit osseoplastics.com for more information.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. Remember biology class in high school? Most of us didn't get it or slept right through it. Well, we didn't, and we can help build your soil's biology. And biology can be the key to unlocking that next bushel and to help your plants thrive. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. If your employer doesn't supply health care coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private health care is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage.
Give us a call at 800-801-2730.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
When the wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh. Ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
To the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right,
just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
You're listening to AgriTalk, where the conversation begins. Join us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
That guy's going to be playing in Ames this month.
Is that right?
You got your hat, baby.
You got your hat?
I don't have my hat, no.
Well, do you at least have a little secret that nobody knows? I mean, you've got to have an ace in the hole.
Absolutely. I wish I had a band like that. Wouldn't that be something?
I can help you with that.
Excellent.
Let's talk after the show. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk and the Free for All. That is Davis Michelson, Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst, Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Talk about a mixed reaction. We get the final adjustments to the GREET model for 40B. Not 40Z, but for 40B, which applies to 2022 and 23 crop corn that could be turned into ethanol, that if it jumps through the right number of hoops and does everything perfectly, could be considered for sustainable aviation fuel production. 22 and 23 crops. 24 crop seems like it's going to be kind of left out in the cold here, because we didn't know the rules and regulations, and I still don't think we know the rules and the regulations that are going to apply for turning corn-based ethanol into sustainable aviation fuel in 2025. So this 24 crop is kind of in no man's land. We're still looking for answers on this, aren't we, Jim?
Yeah, Brazilian sugar cane growers like it. That's a big winner in this so far. And it's your typical... Yeah, it's your typical corn-based ethanol sector that has to wait for a lot more information and understanding. And I was told the lobbyists who deal with Treasury doesn't understand agriculture. So much to Vilsack's credit, he got this about as biofuel oriented in ag as he could. But it's like when you get the government involved, a Treasury, Energy, EPA, and USDA, it's like the bureaucrats making a car. It's a Rubik's cube, and that's what we got. Did you just look at all the record keeping the farmers would have to do on this program? Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
What did the Iowa person tell you, Chip? I'm sorry, I've been backed up. What was their bottom line?
The bottom line is that it's too restrictive. Okay. They need to loosen up if they want to make sustainable aviation fuel in the quantity that they want to make it. They're going to have to lighten up and not require all three of those production practices, that being no-till, that being cover crop, that being the precision nitrogen applications. They're going to have to lighten up on that. And, you know, it's cover crops in particular, I think, is where they would have to lighten up.
Yeah.
And bring in some of the corn that is not produced with all three of those practices and make it eligible for SAF if they are going to want SAF in the quantity that that they say they want it. But the
two for soybeans, Chip, because cover crop. Yeah. You know, talk to a North Dakota producer. They have a hard time with cover crops, and I think they have a legitimate complaint here.
Well, especially the further you move east in the state too, right?
Yep.
So if the whole, like, one of the big purposes of things like SAF and other biofuels, as you guys know, is to de-risk the reliance on fuels from abroad or reliance on the export markets in such a fashion, like China, for example, as we have been. And if the outcome of all of this very complex math that is way over my head, if the result is, well, the advantage is to Brazilian sugarcane, what?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Something is amiss here. And, you know, I talked to different farm groups in the different commodities, including canola. And one group said to me, thanks for calling. We were hoping you're going to be able to shed light on what this means. I'm not shedding light on it. I was hoping you had some, like, everybody is sort of like lost in this.
Right.
The complexity is overwhelming.
Yeah. And the thing is, I've had some people fire at me saying, well, yeah, I shouldn't say fire at me. They're asking very serious question about how much of that money that LanzaJet is getting through the tax credit on using sugarcane based ethanol out of Brazil. How much of that is making its way back down to Brazil? Is LanzaJet paying a premium for that sugarcane based ethanol to bring it up into the U.S.? In other words, are taxpayer dollars going down to Brazil in this whole transaction? You got to argue that they probably are, right, Jim?
Yeah. I would think so. Yeah. And you can go, you know, with the Paul Niefer line on this thing. He was pretty, he called it a dud of a program for U.S. soybean and corn producers.
Yeah.
That's pretty blatant right there.
Well, I thought that was your line because he said it's not even a dud. Yeah.
And this would be based on the carbon intensity scoring of a crop like canola for the Northern Plains, you know, this could be a real advantage for a crop like canola and its potential acre growth in the U.S. But the math is so unclear and complex that, you know, that commodity can't figure it out on either side of the border, as I talk to crushers and farm groups.
Right. And one thing that I do not want us to lose sight of is that some environmental groups say that this is too inclusive because it threatens to flood the market with SAF from corn-based ethanol. And there are, quote-unquote, according to these environmental groups, quote-unquote, greener options available for the production of ethanol than corn to make the sustainable aviation fuel. They're not happy with it because they think it's too attractive to make corn-based ethanol for sustainable aviation fuel.
Well,
They're just anti-corn.
Yeah. Exactly. And there may be other options, but can they produce the volume of SAF?
Can't make it happen. You guys are great. Have a great weekend. Super job today. Appreciate all your insights. Jim Wiesmeyer, Pro Farmer Policy Analyst. Sean Haney, Real Agriculture, Real Ag Radio. Davis Michelson, stick around for this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Kirk Kimmel from AgMarket.net right here on AgriTalk.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Scammers often try to dupe veterans to steal the VA benefits they've earned. Scammers may try to obtain sensitive information or collect payments over the phone, offer to move assets in order to qualify for pension, Insist benefits may be sent directly to a friend or caregiver, or promise to manage benefits or file a claim for you. VA will never charge you for processing a claim, and only VA can determine eligibility. To report suspicious activity, visit va.gov/OIG/hotline.
Sherry, what have you done to your hair?
What do you mean? Does it not look good?
It doesn't look good. It looks freaking amazing. I can't believe how thick and healthy it looks. Oh, I must know your secret.
No secret. It's hair volume from New Nordic.
Hair volume, huh? Well, it certainly lives up to its name. Your hair has never looked so thick. It is gorgeous.
I was so tired of having thin and brittle hair. Ugh, and the shedding. So I figured I'd give hair volume a try.